Shall we finish? Let's do. And we will finish early today. Isn't that nice? Looks like you'll have an extended lunch. And I'm sure you're hungry because you've been starving yourself. Wow. Okay. We're on number 3. Is that correct? Wow. We've done well. Number 3. Once you identify the idols in your life, you can start the process of destroying them. All change in the kingdom of God has 3 components: truth, repentance, and faith. The first step to destroying idols in your life is the truth that comes from the Word of God applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been doing in these sessions and the sessions before. We've been laying out the truth. So we've already made step 1. The second step, now number 4, is to destroying idols in your life is repentance. For repentance to be effective, it must be specific. Name the idols and repent for their specific effect upon your life. So repentance begins by acknowledging the idols that reign in your heart. Now remember, idols create delusions that cause us to deny their hold on us. But for repentance to be effective, it always has to be specific. So it would be nice if when we first got saved, we could pray a general prayer of repentance from all idols. And say, Lord, forgive me for all the idols in my heart and anything else that I'll ever find in my life, the rest of my life, in Jesus' name, amen. And that it's done. But that doesn't do much good. For repentance to be effective, it has to be very specific. Now, I know this for several reasons. Of course, because the Bible teaches it. But I also know it because I've been successfully married for 35 years. And I discovered that one of the secrets to successful marriage is specific repentance. Husbands would love the idea of being able to, like, as a part of the wedding ceremony, have just a general, honey, forgive me for anything that I will ever do that's wrong the rest of our life. Amen. And then get it done with. But you know, it doesn't work that way. For repentance to work, it has to be specific. I know, I've experienced this so many times. It happens often. My wife and I have been at a social gathering, and we're in the car driving home. And one thing that women are especially good at, it's like a superpower that they have. Men don't have this power, but women do. They have a power to send out vibrations. Do you know what I'm talking about? They communicate without words. It's like these waves of messages, vibrations. And so we'll be in the car driving home, and I can tell, obviously, there is something that's not right. Now, let me tell you what doesn't work. I know this doesn't work. I know this doesn't work because I did it too many times. Something like this, honey, if I did anything tonight to offend you, please forgive me. That's not going to work. That's going to make matters worse. It's probably going to initiate a tone in my wife's voice that I don't want to hear. Something like, if, what do you mean, if? And then it's going to start, you see. I have discovered, though, the best approach in this situation is to start something like this. Honey, it's obvious I've done something again to offend you. Unfortunately, I am totally clueless. Will you please help me see what I've done so I can repent and ask your forgiveness? Now that works. That's I at least got a chance of surviving. And so she tells me, very specific, and I have to be specific. Name it, repeat it, ask forgiveness for the specific offense. And that brings restoration to the relationship. It's the same way with idols. We can't just have a general, Lord, forgive me for all my idols. We have to name the specific one. Repentance has to be specific. Now, a part of that process, we recognize how powerless they are to help you. And you can pray a prayer like this, Lord, what is this compared to you? If I have you, I don't have to have this. This cannot bless me and love me and help me. This is not my life. It cannot give me that, but you can and have. Secondly, recognize how dangerous they are to you. How dangerous they are. Lord, why am I giving this so much power over me? If I keep doing it, it will strangle me. I will not do so any longer. This will not be my master. You are my only king. And thirdly, recognize how grievous they are to God. G-R-I-E-V-O-U-S, grievous they are to God. Lord, I see how repulsive this idol is. In yearning after this, I have trampled on your love for me. Forgive me for my lack of grateful joy for what you have done for me. Now, the third step, number five, to destroying idols in your life is faith. Faith is acknowledging the provision Christ has made to satisfy the desires of your heart that the idol was trying to fulfill. Faith is acknowledging the provision Christ has made to satisfy the desires of your heart that the idol was trying to fulfill. It's interesting to think about, but all sin is ultimately a good thing gone bad. All sin is ultimately a good thing gone bad. Sin is something that God made us for, but we are looking to it in the wrong place, at the wrong time, for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives. And so it's the idol trying to provide something, a need that we really have. God made us in a particular way. He wants to meet that need. We're looking to something else to meet it. So faith is discovering what are the promises of God. See, acknowledging the provision Christ has made in His Word that satisfies the desire of the heart that the idol is trying to fulfill. So faith then is expressed through praising God for the specific promises He has made to you that satisfy what your heart was looking for in the idol. You see, here's what happens when we praise God. When we praise Him specifically for the provision He's made for us. As we praise Him, you see, His beauty is magnified. We see Him for who He is. As His beauty is magnified, the idol is diminished. It's seen for what it is. Cheap, powerless, dangerous. God is seen as so much more valuable than anything the idol provided. And so what happens is your heart begins to relax its grip on the idol. See, our heart is gripped tightly to these things. That's why change comes so slowly in areas of our life. Remember, we started this by talking about this is inside-out transformation, a biblical model for change, especially dealing with those areas of our life that seem to be the most resistant to change. And everybody here, there are certain things you're aware of in your life. There are issues that you've struggled and fought with that you seem to make a little progress, but they just seem to be very resistant to change because the heart latches on to idols very tightly. And it's a hard process to get them to release the grip on our heart. But the beauty of Jesus Christ is he's worshiped as what he's provided for us. It becomes so much more greater, and the heart then slowly begins to release its grip on the idol because it takes hold of something that's immensely more valuable and more beautiful. There's an exchange that takes place. And so, number six, our last fill-in, repentance and faith, then, is a process that is fueled by meditation on God's Word. Meditation on God's Word. Find verses that promise you what the idol can never give you. Meditate and confess them daily until the power of God's Word destroys the influence the idols had in your life. In the end, the Word of God is the primary change agent in our heart. It's God's Word that changes our heart. And specifically, as we take His Word, the promises that apply to us specifically, the promises that particularly provide for the thing that we were looking to that idol to meet, as we meditate on those, as we confess those, the Word of God goes into our heart, transforms us, changes us from the inside. That's why, for me, my devotional life, a lot of it consists of meditation and confession on God's Word. It's a discipline that I developed early on in my Christian life. I'm constantly challenged to continue to increase it and to not lose sight of it. But it's as we meditate on God's Word, it breaks the power of idols in our life. So my devotions are done on my iPad and in Evernote, and I have a folder called Scriptural Confessions and Prayers, and there are, I just edited, I think there's 27 individual files in that folder, and each one of them are particular topics or areas where the promises of God are just listed. And I spend time on whatever the need is in my life, whatever is being revealed. I spend time meditating on those, letting God's Word work into my heart, and praising God for the provision He's made that I've been looking to other things to provide. Do you have a discipline of meditation and confession? It is a discipline. And it's something that's fueled by memorization. I don't know if you've made that a part of your spiritual disciplines. But early on in my Christian life, I was able to memorize scriptures pretty easily. I had probably not a photographic memory, but fairly close to it. I've lost that. It's a part of the outer man decaying. But as a young man, 19, all I would have to do was read a verse one time. And for the most part, I had it memorized. And there was a time where I had about 3/4 of the Pauline epistles either memorized or I knew where every verse was. And so it's a lot harder for me now, so start young. Memorize verses, and that gives you the ability to meditate on them in all sorts of different situations in life. The thing that I do for exercise is I swim. And 3 times a week I swim. I try to swim 1/2 mile. And I swim hard. But even in swimming, I've developed a discipline of meditation. So as I'm swimming, I take several different verses with me to the pool that day, whatever verses I'm meditating on. And in the pool, swimming back and forth, I'm just meditating on those verses, thinking about them over and over and over again. As you develop this discipline, meditate on those verses, the power of the idol is broken in your life. So let's look at this chart as we conclude now. And in this chart, we'll look at four problems and then some diagnostic questions we can ask and then a suggested prayer. So we'll read this, pray, and then let you go to lunch. So temptation, you're facing a temptation. Here's some diagnostic questions you can ask yourself. How are these temptations being caused by an inordinate hope for someone or something to give me the comfort and consolation that only Jesus can give me? How does Christ give me so much more fully the very things I am looking for elsewhere? And here's a sample prayer. Lord, when I forget the gospel, I try to find comfort in other things. But only in your presence is fullness of joy. This thing I'm tempted by is just a pleasure that will wear off soon. It's a sham and a cheat. While your pleasure, though it may start small, will grow forever. Remove my idols, which can never give me the pleasure that I need. Let's look at the problem of anxiety. Ask yourself these diagnostic questions. How are these anxieties being caused? By an inordinate hope for someone or something to give me the control over my life only Jesus can give me. How does Christ give me so much more fully the very things I'm looking for elsewhere? A sample prayer would be, Lord, when I forget the gospel, I try to control my own life. But my security in life is based neither on luck nor hard work, but on your gracious love for me. You love me far more and better than I love myself. Remove my idols, which can never give me the security I need. How about anger? Diagnostic question, how is this anger being caused by an inordinate hope for someone or something to give me what only Jesus can give me? And how does Christ give me so much more fully the very things I'm looking for elsewhere? Lord, when I forget the gospel, I become impatient and judgmental of others. I forget that you've been infinitely patient with me. You are slow to anger and rich in love. Tenderize my heart towards others. Remove my idols, which can never give me the power that I need. And finally, rejection. How is this rejection being caused by an inordinate hope for someone or something to give me the approval that only Jesus can give me? How does Christ give me so much more fully the very things I'm looking for elsewhere? Lord, when I forget the gospel, I become dependent on the approval of others. I let them sit in judgment on me, but you fully accept me in your Son. Let me be so satisfied with your love that I no longer respond to people in fear of displeasing them. Remove my idols, which can never give me the approval I need. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and guide. He leads us into all the truth. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to lead us, reveal to us the issues that are troubling us, the idols that our heart is gripped upon. Lord, let us see the influence they've had in our life, their origin, where they come from. And Father, most importantly, give us a vision of the beauty of Jesus Christ. Let us be so enamored with your gospel and such a deep understanding that although we are more wicked and flawed than we ever dared believe, yet at the same time, we're more loved and affirmed than we ever hoped possible. Lord, as we meditate and understand the gospels, it goes deeper into our soul and it covers more areas of our heart. Lord, the gospel will expel all of the false idols, the things that we've looked for, and the gospel will bring lasting transformation in our heart. Lord, we're asking you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, class. That's pretty good, 11:24.